friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
11 o'clock hour. We will hear from, we're assuming, Dylan Gabriel, Browns quarterback, will be speaking. Players are supposed to start speaking at 11:20. And when they step to the podium, we will go to Berea. The Browns' new starting quarterback, Dylan Gabriel, will speak. You'll hear it right here on The Fan. I'm Jeff Phelps. Dan Menigan's in for Andy today. Big decision by Stephen Vogt. But before that, we're really fortunate to have a former traffic reporter who has filled in on traffic here. Sitting next to me, filling in for Andy Baskin today, and that would be Dan Menigan. If you're coming downtown for the ball game, listen and listen closely.
All right, if you're coming downtown for the ball game, coming up, if you take 77 or from the south side, or you're coming from the west side, taking 71, there is a really, really nasty accident right at the 77-71 merge, where I-71 north meets I-77 north.
They don't. You're talking about 90.
90, sorry.
I'll go back and do it again.
Yeah, all right. All right, fine.
Everybody's confused. Start over.
Okay. All right. So there has been a really bad accident on the I-90 where I-77 meets I-90 north right there.
So right where you would exit to go get off, basically to go down East 9th.
To Carnegie right there. Yeah. Yep. There's been a really bad accident that has shut down all of the lanes of traffic. So if you take those highways to get in, get out early and take some back roads in there. If you're trying to get to the game, the backup from what it looks like has found its way to the I-76 merge on 90 on 71 north, right where you then hit the 176th right there. That is where the backup is right now. So if you are doing any of those, get out before then and take the back roads in.
Just drop 71 again.
Right, because you take 71, 71 turns into 90 when you hit downtown.
Right.
So it's 71 until you hit that.
Backed up all the way to there.
But when you get off, okay, it's 176, which is right. The...
And how far is it backed up on 77? Can you tell?
And of course, everybody loves on the radio how I'm using hand motions on top of all of those things to you.
I liked it.
Thank you. I appreciate such things. What was your question before I decided to be a smart aleck?
How far is it backed up on 77 if you're coming from the south?
It is backed up to where?
Beyond 490, if I'm seeing the traffic maps correct, the backup starts before 490 when you're heading up 77.
Okay. Someone else was also filled in on traffic numerous times. Yeah.
Game time about 2 hours away. So if you're on your way up, you have plenty of time. You can cut over, come up 71st Street, something like that.
Yep.
Go ahead and hit Broadway and come in the back way that way.
If you're coming from the west side, take the shore way if you can.
Yep. So at the very least, pay attention and know what's happening.
Yeah, or get off at 44th if you're coming from the west side and you could take 44th.
Again, we're going to be bouncing back and forth between the two big topics of the day because both are huge. Browns with a new starting quarterback. It's Dylan Gabriel replacing Joe Flacco. Dylan expected to speak shortly, and we will hear him right here during the 11 o'clock hour on The Fan. That's the expectation. And Stephen Vogt, God bless him, making a lineup decision. Chase DeLauder will make his major league debut in center field, batting seventh in a game that if the Guardians lose, their season is over.
Baffling. What?
Chase DeLauder will start make his major league debut starting in center field in an elimination game. Now, let me throw some thoughts at you.
Okay.
That tells you how bad the offense is.
Yes.
Okay. That just tells you how bad the offense is overall.
Yes.
I immediately thought, why would you not start Angel Martinez in center field? And Angel went 1-for-3 yesterday, but he did have 2 strikeouts. Why might you not start Angel Martinez? In August and September, he hit a combined 178.
Also, DeLauder has played far more right field, center field than Angel Martinez has in his career.
Although Angel Martinez looks pretty decent in center field.
Yeah, but I'd rather have the guy who's played it more than have the guy who's still kind of learning on the fly.
Just playing it at Akron count.
I still consider it learning on the fly. One guy has been doing it since he was in college. Another guy was like, hey, you want to play? I got an idea.
This might work. Okay. Who knows? It might work. Whatever Stephen Vogt has done down the stretch, it worked. So this is what he's going with today. They're starting Chase DeLauter, making his major league debut in center field. One of the vital defensive positions as well in an elimination game. Now, he's a left-handed hitter. Casey Helps Mize is a righty. I get that. Here's the lineup. Here's what they're going with today. Stephen Kwan.
Makes sense.
George Valera, left-handed hitter, will be in right field.
For this team, it makes sense.
Valera has played in 16 major league games. Jose Ramirez at third base. Kyle Manzardo is the DH cleanup. Bo Naylor will be behind the plate. Gabe Arias is at shortstop. Then DeLauter will make his major league debut, hitting seventh in center field.
Because why not?
C.J. Cephas will be at first base. He played in 44 regular season games in the major leagues.
He
has 44 games of major league experience.
I can stomach that.
Brian Rocchio will be at second base, playing his usual stellar defense, and Tanner Bibee will be on the mound.
Now, why is Rocchio hitting ninth?
So, I don't understand.
That's what breaks my brain.
Put Rocchio second.
Yes.
Put George Valera ninth.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
How they have handled the number two position in this order is baffling and painful.
Been bizarre. I remember at the beginning of the year, they tried Jose there.
Right. I would have left that.
Well, there's nothing behind Jose.
Well,
at the time, it was Carlos Santana, and Carlos never really hit like the old Carlos Santana.
That is true.
So can I throw this at you?
Mind moving faster than body.
Counting them up. Gabe Arias was there because of a rehab assignment. It's an elimination game, Dano. You win today or you're done. I'm not blaming Stephen Vogt. This is what he has to work with. Okay, folks? This is what he has to work with. Five of the nine position players spent time in the minors this year. And four of them spent the majority of what they've done this year in the minors. Or at least a good chunk, Rocchio. So four of these guys were basically minor leaguers for a good chunk of this year. And three of them for almost the entire season.
Checks out. I mean, it backs up what we've been watching.
I can't wait. There's still baseball to be played. They win today. They can win the whole series. I can't wait. I want to see them get to the next round. I want to see them get to the ALCS. I want to see them stun everybody and win the World Series. I can't wait to see what they do offensively, acquisition-wise, in the offseason. I can't wait. It's going to be fun.
I am so far from that mindset currently.
I know you are.
Now, some of it is the fact
that... I just threw it out there, but I can't wait.
Now, some of it is the fact that if you go in with low enough expectations, you will never truly be disappointed. Ask my parents when they would have to show up to art shows of me growing up. If you go in with low enough expectations, you're never truly disappointed. That's how I feel about the Guardians offseason.
That's what I feel about every day here, working with you.
But you're not incorrect.
It's a joke. Just a joke.
You're not incorrect. There's thrilled a reason why I'm not pushing back.
I'm thrilled to be your partner.
There's a reason why I'm not pushing back on you. DeLauter can draw walks. He's really patient at the plate.
We don't know. He's never played in a major league game.
Well, we're using the trip. I'm using what I have here. You're breaking down Dylan Gabriel last segment, and you know just as much about him as we know about Chase DeLauter.
No, I think we know more about Dylan Gabriel. 216-474-0092.
We know more about Dylan Gabriel. We're about on equal footing here. Chase DeLauter will work some walks. He can hit the ball with some level of power, and he's supposedly decent in the outfield on top of that. Maybe he solves the center field woes. I don't know, because it's been a revolving door out there of middle infielders that you're crossing your fingers and praying can make a catch since Miles Straw wasn't able to hit water if he fell out of a boat.
Big picture on you here?
Sure.
I hope Chase DeLauter is terrific and is your starting center fielder next year.
Of course you
and
do.
And is out there for 150 games.
Agreed. Agreed.
And it just might work that he is making his major league debut in a playoff game. And if you don't win it, your season's over. That shows so many things. Big you-know-what from Stephen Vogt. Lack of incredible offense for this franchise right now. And no better options. I mean, you don't have a better option you don't have a better option than to give a guy his major league debut in an elimination game.
Hashtag guards ball, Jeff. Hashtag guards ball.
Jeff's in University Heights. Hello, Jeff.
How are you, Jeff?
Good morning. So,
Jeff, major league debut in an elimination game.
I've heard worse ideas.
And a 5'9 quarterback making a debut, too. So,
what a day, Jeff.
I've heard worse ideas.
Which is the worst scenario? I think the worst scenario is the 5'9 quarterback that should have never been drafted where he was in the first place. But to your point, Jeff, the Guardians, as we know, made a great run to get to where they are right now.
Awesome.
When you look at it, though, you know, should they really be there with a minus run differential? All the stats that we don't have to go back over again over and over. My only feeling about this is of course I want them to win. Of course I want them to win today and win tomorrow and then go on to Seattle. The only downside, if there is a downside to that, is that will then make this ownership even more apt to want to stand pat and say, see, we got to the ALDS this year with this kind of team, and we don't know what the youngsters are going to do when they get more exposure next year. You know, the same
Jeff, this is also my deep, dark fear. This is my deep, dark fear.
So, in a way, and again, let me just preface this by saying this. And again, I want them to win today. I'm not rooting for them to lose by any stretch of the imagination. But if they were to go out today, perhaps that would then cause management to say, hey, in an elimination game, we started five guys that were in Columbus this year, and we've got to do better than that.
Jeff, thank you very much, buddy. Good thoughts. Five guys were in Columbus this year. One on a rehab assignment, Gabe Arias. The other four guys, because that's where they deserved to be playing at the time.
And not to mention Gabriel Arias in the beginning when we were back looking at spring training. Yeah. We're all looking at each other going, oh, really? Him?
Exactly.
Are we sure?
That's exactly right.
Oh.
We're going to hear from Dylan Gabriel coming up. We're going to hear from you coming up next. 216-474-0092. Thanks for the calls. We're going back and forth. Browns, Guardians today. Big stuff with both franchises. And you'll hear it all. We'll have it for you.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Right here on The Fan.
You can listen to The Fan anytime, anywhere on the free Odyssey app or by telling your smart speaker to play 92.3 The Fan. And now you can find 92.3 The Fan on YouTube, including The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima, live from 6 to 10 a.m. Subscribe to our channel for free and watch all the best content from your favorite shows on The Fan each and every day.
That's Dan Mannigan. He's in for Andy today. I'm Jeff Phelps. Dylan Gabriel, new starting quarterback for the Browns, will be speaking in Berea shortly. And we'll be heading out there as quickly as he steps up to the podium. In the meantime, Stephen Vogt has decided to play a guy in center field today who we're all excited about long term, but he's never played in a major league game. Sixth player, I believe, who will make his major league debut in a playoff game.
Adalberto Mondesi for the Royals, I think, was the last one. I can't think of another one before
and
that.
That's a big deal. Stephen Vogt spoke just a few moments ago. And why is Chase DeLauder the starting center fielder and hitting seventh today? Here's the manager of the Guardians.
Offense has been a struggle for us, and we're looking to generate some more offense. Chase has played a lot of center field. He's been a very good outfielder, and he's been a very good hitter. And so we felt like this was the right move to do, and here we go.
Now, we're making a lot out of the fact that the guy's never played in a major league game. Stephen doesn't have a whole lot to work with.
That is correct.
And DeLauder is one of the offensive hopes of this franchise forward.
Yeah, this isn't the Yankees.
So I get it. Yeah, I get it.
He's not looking down the bench and seeing Jazz Chisholm sitting there. He's not looking down the bench and seeing everybody who didn't play yesterday because for some reason they decided to go platoon heavy in that game. Those guys aren't sitting there.
He's starting DeLauder in center over a guy who in August and September hit 178. Okay.
It's a high bar.
All right, let's go.
Jeff, that's a high bar.
Let's go. Seriously, when we put it in that in that context, okay,
it's very easy to throw your palms in the air and say, "Why the hell not?"
I mean, exactly.
That's really where we are: is throw your palms in the air, and say, "Why the hell not?"
Yeah.
At least defensively, it'll be better. God, that Jonathan Rodriguez play still aggravates me until the end of time. I'm going to be mad about that for a solid like.
And guys make mistakes.
48 hours. I know, but that. You learn that at like 10. You have a coach going, keep your head down. Like you've heard that your whole life. And he picks his head up to see where the runner is before the ball hits inside of the glove. If I'm Stephen Vogt, I'm benching him for that to begin with. Like, that's ridiculous. You can't do that in a playoff game. You can't do that in any game.
Okay. That happens. Guys drop balls. Best players on the team run when they're not supposed to run.
Yeah, but those other best players.
When they're on third with one out.
The two
in
guys,
a one-run game.
Yeah, but that guy, when he makes an error, it's few and far between, and he's made up for it in other places. When the other two make errors and then turn around and go 0 for 6 with 5 strikeouts, now we're having a different conversation.
Dude was on third base with one out.
0 for 6 with 5 strikeouts.
Third base with one out in a one-run game.
I would make a Simpsons joke right here, but you wouldn't get it.
In the ninth inning.
Dental plan. Lisa needs braces. Dental plan.
We're going to go to Berea and hear from Dylan.
Six
Gabriel
people laughed at that.
As quickly as possible.
Hopefully they weren't stuck in traffic.
Yeah. Well, hopefully not.
Yeah. By the way,
David is in chagrin. Hi, Dave.
How are you, David?
Hey, guys. You know, I heard about that traffic backup. Hope everyone's okay, but it's a beautiful day to be riding in the Chagrin Valley.
Well, there you go. You can.
And it's a beautiful day for a baseball game. I'm very happy.
Terrific. We're glad for you.
So, you know, you're talking about Chase Lauder starting right now. I think we're seeing next year's opening day roster in the lineup right now. And this year's opening day roster, who was on it? Who was happy with this year's opening day roster? We were waiting for Chase Lauder to come in, but injury set him back.
Absolutely.
So this is like a futures game for us. You know, I was thinking.
Except for one thing, Dave. If you lose, you're thinking about where you're going to vacation over the weekend.
When Stephen Kwan came into the league, he was like our one star that came up. But we've always had all-stars in the minors. Our AAA team was one game away from the championship last year. I think we had a lot of good players in the minors. And you see Kwan come up by himself, waiting to play out his rookie contract and leave before his fellow all-stars from the minors come join him. I think they want to make a splash here and say, look, we can put a good team together if these guys get going. I mean, 4 out of 5 have spent most of the year in the minors. It's not like you're like throwing out this dangerous lineup from the 90s again.
All right, David. Thank you very much. We're going to head to Berea for Dylan Gabriel as soon as he steps to the podium. And he was named the starting quarterback of the Browns. Again, we're bouncing back and forth between a couple of things today. Meredith, are we close?
A futures game.
I'm just wondering.
In game 2 of the wild card, we're talking. This is like a futures game. What?
So we're not hearing from Dylan Gabriel. We are hearing from Joe Flacco. Let's go out to Berea.
We wanted to. Listen, when you're in the moment and you're having conversations with people, it is what it is. You look people in the eye and you tell them how it is, and that's what it is.
Joe, what was your conversation like with Kevin, and did you kind of foresee this coming?
I don't think I foresaw it. I think I said it on Sunday. Anytime you're in this league, I mean, everybody's always getting evaluated. And, you know, the job of a quarterback is to help your team win football games. So I don't know if I foresaw it coming. But listen, me and Kevin can have a good conversation. It wasn't like it was anything super long or drawn out like that. But got to the point and had a good conversation with him about it. And it is what it is.
Kevin said just how important your leadership is as part of this team, regardless of your role. Just how do you sort of transition, and what's that role kind of look like for you as you continue to be a leader?
I think just be myself. Obviously, that it can be tricky. I don't think you can put too much thought into it. Like I said, it's just being yourself, coming to work every day, giving it your all, and you know, keeping that same routine that you have, even if. You know, when you were the guy, just still being able to show everybody that you can come to work and still get it all done, even though it's not necessarily the same situation.
Joe, just the turnover aspect for you and you guys as an offense, like how frustrating was that to not really get a handle on it over these first 4 games?
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, obviously, I think there's some of those that, you know, it's like, what are you going to do? And then there's some that you look at and you really want back. That's how it goes. They all count the same, and you know, when you look back on it, it's definitely a part of why we weren't able to be what we wanted to be.
Kevin keeps saying that it's not just you, it's not just one person, it's the whole team. Obviously, you didn't get a lot of help. So does that make it more difficult that this move was made when it's not just you?
No, I don't look at it that way. You know, I think any time you're the guy and you want to be out there competing, it's difficult. But I don't think you're necessarily looking at it from that perspective. We weren't as good as we wanted to be, and you're more so just looking at your role in that.
You had some great memories here a couple years ago, obviously. The fans seemed to take a real liking to you during that time. How, if at all, do you think that relationship has changed?
It's not for me to worry about. For me, I mean, I've said it before, it's different times, it's different years. I mean, for me, it doesn't change, you know, the experience that I've had here and, you know, will continue to have here. It's part of the game. It's tough to deal with, not getting it done. That's the bigger thing. I just because you still try to look at the good experiences here and listen, we got a long season left, so I'm still, you know, keeping my head up and still trying to live that out.
Joe, why do you think it's been so difficult, offense? Why do you think it's been so difficult to get it going at this point?
Well, it's tough for me to get into all those details right now and actually spread it out, all this. I mean, I really don't want to get into it. I mean, you know, we've just struggled to kind of become who we want to be, and that's it.
What do you think attributed most to Kevin making this change?
Oh, you'd have to ask Kev. I mean, we're 1-3, so.
What's your outlook for Dylan going forward? What can you do to help him?
Yeah, like I said, for me, it's just, you know, I think the best way to help him is just continue to come to work, you know, with a good mindset every day and provide that positive energy and, you know, see what he needs on his end.
What has he shown you, Joe, behind the scenes or even when he's getting a little bit of those first team reps in practice?
Listen, he's into it, man. He's ready to go. I'm sure he's super excited about this opportunity. You can tell he takes it seriously just by the way he studies and you know, his intent in the meeting rooms and on the practice field. So,
Joe, I know you've been through situations like this before, and I'm sure it never gets easier. But can you pull on some of those past experiences to kind of help you approach this one?
I think every situation is unique. So it's probably and I think you do get emotional about it. So it's tough to, in the moment, draw on those experiences. So you just kind of go back to just being yourself and relying on the people around you to help you cope with it a little bit.
Very good.
Thanks.
All right.
So there's Joe Flacco, who has been nothing but a class act since he's been here. He may be back on the field again. You never know what they will do. He is the backup quarterback. So if something happens to Dylan Gabriel, Joe will be out there, at least the way things stand right now. Nothing but a class act.
That's the right way to put it. That was a classy press conference, probably something that he did not have to do, probably something that the media asked him to do, and he obliged and gave truly honest answers. I mean, he did not foresee the benching coming. Said that, and there, you know, Kevin Stefanski set him down. He talked with him about it, and he's thrilled to, you know, have that kind of relationship with Kevin Stefanski, and it was because the offense struggled to be who they wanted to be. I mean, that's as truthful as you're going to get.
Yeah, I did. There's no sense in bashing Joe, but I think everybody needed to be realistic about what Joe was when he got here. And if you were realistic, I think we all completely understand what's happening now.
Correct.
You know, Joe hasn't played real well. End of story. Doesn't mean he won't be playing again. You know, there are guys around the league playing quarterback who aren't playing real well, but Joe wasn't playing real well. And he was throwing it a lot and wasn't throwing it well, and he wasn't getting much help.
It seemed like everything was moving a little bit too fast for Joe Flacco.
Oh,
that's what I felt like watching him.
Not mentally, but physically.
Yeah, I mean, we've said it before.
Physically.
Every single person has been there in one way or another, whether you're playing a sport against your kids, whether you're playing your sport against your neighbors, whether you're playing a sport against friends. You hit a certain point. Basketball is the one that stood out to me because that's when it happened to me. I was going up against a bunch of high schoolers. They made a move. My brain went, move right. My legs went, move right. And that beat in between there got me roasted over and over. And I went, well, I could, nope, I can't do that anymore. It happens to all of us at some point. It happens to professional athletes way later than it happens to, you know, average people like myself. But that's what I felt like I was looking at when I watched him. It felt like the brain was moving as fast as it always did, and the body was a half beat slow. And he was late throwing to receivers. He was throwing behind receivers.
And when he had to try and get out of the way, he didn't do a great job.
Exactly. And he couldn't move. He couldn't move. It was time. I understand the move. I would have done it coming back from London, but I understand the move.
And we'll see what Dylan Gabriel does. He is expected to speak. And when he does, we'll hear from him right here on The Fan. So we have a lot of great things going on today. I'm pumped about the baseball game. We'll see what our team does. We're making, I wouldn't say light, or we're kind of reflecting on the reality that the Guardians are in such a tough situation offensively. As Stephen Vogt said, that we got to start a guy in his major league debut in center field, and we think that helps us.
Before we totally transfer to that,
I just threw that out. Say what we're doing, and we have an eye on what's going on in Berea because Dylan Gabriel expected to speak shortly.
I trust your opinion on these things. You've been through a lot of different press conferences, a lot of different ideas.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco saying that Dylan Gabriel is ready to go and he's into it. Do you think that is just a guy towing the company line when you heard him say that? Or does that feel like Joe Flacco saying, you might have something here?
Joe Flacco doesn't have to tow the company line.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't mean that Dylan Gabriel's, you know, a world beater waiting to happen. I saw a picture yesterday on Cleveland.com and I thought, oh boy. And it was Joe Flacco standing there next to Dylan Gabriel, and Dylan was speaking to him, and his head was at a 45-degree angle looking up at Joe Flacco. You're not going to change the fact that Dylan Gabriel is a short quarterback. Not kind of short. He's a short quarterback. Doesn't mean he can't play well. Let's just see what he can do. I'm curious again, and let's be realistic here. Short quarterbacks taken in the third round usually become career backups. Usually.
Yeah.
The
worked for Breeze.
Big exception.
For Russell Wilson.
Breeze wasn't even a first or a third round pick. He was a second round pick. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And a high second round pick. Russell Wilson was a third round pick. He's the poster child. He's the guy I have my fingers crossed for. Can we find Russell Wilson here in Dylan Gabriel? The other thing about it, though, take a look at Russell Wilson. Look at Russell Wilson when he came in. Russell was built like a running back. Dylan Gabriel's not. He's not only not tall, he's not real big.
I wouldn't call him slight, though. He's got some build to him.
I didn't call him slight, Andy. I said he's not real big.
Okay, that's the meanest thing that you've said to me in a long period of time. That was just totally uncalled for.
I didn't call him slight.
I know.
Did I?
It was, but the way you worded that definitely made it seem like I was
trying to be a smart guy.
Closer to a cornerback or a wide receiver than he is to a running back.
I got to be honest. I like.
There's some heft.
I like the idea of seeing what you have. And here's the biggest reason I like the idea. I like the idea for this reason. Give the kid enough of a chance to see if he can actually be your guy next year. I don't think he's going to be. I don't think Shador is going to be.
I don't either.
I think you're going to draft somebody and he's going to be your number one quarterback.
I don't either. And I want to give Shador Sanders as much time as humanly possible. Absolutely. Before I throw him in.
So give these young guys a look.
All right, guys, we're going to hear from Dylan Gabriel right now. Let's go out to Berea.
Dylan, first off, congratulations.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Your feeling, do you name the starter in this? How prepare are you for this moment?
Yeah, I think you know, from the beginning, this is the moment you look forward to as a competitor. But, you know, it's part of my job, you know, to be ready, to be that, you know, sense of hope for everyone to continue to be better and come together and create momentum for each other. So excited for that, but just also extremely focused at doing my job at a high level.
How do you think you managed to stay ready over these first 4 weeks of the regular season?
Yeah, a lot of walkthroughs, a lot of meetings you got to be really tuned into. And then, you know, I think just you look at all the work from beginning of OTAs and rookie minicamp to now, I think that's all installation that you can really pride yourself on and the reps built up. So moments, you know, that build up and then to get here. But, you know, like I said, it's extreme focus on just doing my job at a high level and continue to do that for one another.
Kevin mentioned that you had received some reps with the starters during, you know, the first month of the regular season. Just can you kind of put like a percentage, like every day, how many plays it was, and how do you think that's prepared you, even though you're going to get a full slate of practice reps this week?
You know, I think as much as we could. You know, I think reps here and there throughout practices, but also respecting, you know, Flacco getting his reps throughout those weeks. So I think we tried to fit in as much as possible, but. You know, I think we also did a good job of that in training camp. So, like I said, you got to build those moments up to get to this moment. And I think a great week of prep will set us up for success.
Kevin talked about Joe's leadership still being so important to this team despite becoming the backup. Just curious from your vantage point, from the day you got here to these first 4 weeks, how has he been able to already just sort of support you to get to this point?
Yeah, what I appreciate about Joe is just it's not his job to be a mentor. You know, it's his job to be a great quarterback. And I think just his openness to answer questions, you know, it's my job to ask questions, right, and search for those answers. But having guys like, you know, him, Deshaun in the room, I think guys that just have played a bunch of ball. So I appreciate him for that. And, you know, he's a captain on this team. He's still a huge piece of what we do. And we look to him for a lot of things because he's been through it a bunch. So I think there's a ton of respect there for me and a guy I definitely look up to. And, you know, it's going to be important to have that, you know, going into this week.
You know, when Kevin said that, kept stressing that it's not just one person, right, that's responsible for the offensive struggles. So when you get in there as a starter, how do you go about trying to get everybody to play at a higher level?
Yeah, I think initially it's great juice and great energy. And that starts on Monday, you know, the beginning of the prep week. That starts with just having great meetings, having great practices. So we're taking small sample sizes and bites at the, you know, the whole thing, and making sure that we just focus on what we got in front of us. And I think if we have a great week of prep and we continue to put that at the forefront, you know, I think we'll continue to have that. But like I said, it's not just one person. It's all of us coming together, creating momentum together so we can go, you know, move the sticks and put points on the board.
Dylan, I know you're obviously, whenever we talk to you, you're so process driven. Mm-hmm. Aside from just obviously getting those first team reps this week and most of the reps in practice, does anything change for you this week?
You know, you'd like to say no, but there is a lot of excitement. But with that excitement, for me, it's just extreme focus, you know, and I've been through weeks of prep and a bunch of them, you know, if you go back, but you just continue to attack it with your process and how you want to accomplish that. But I think it's us coming together, like I said, not to be, you know, cliche or keep saying the same thing, but, you know, we have to come together and create momentum for each other so that we can create positive plays, put points on the board, and just take it one play at a time.
Could Joe impart any, you know, words of encouragement after the announcement came out?
You know, I think just for us, it's constant communication. You know, like he's a guy that, you know, you see in every single day. You know, we're in the same position group, and a guy that you appreciate 100% of the time because he's just himself, and he's very even keel. So there's a lot I've learned from him and will continue to learn from him. But, you know, I know he knows, you know, he still has a huge part in what we're doing, and, you know, he's a captain of the team as well.
When did Coach tell you that, you know, you were going to get the start?
You know, we all sat down and sat in a QB room, and as simple as that.
Dylan, it was pretty clear that, you know, at some point the organization wanted you to start a game this season. Obviously, maybe a little earlier than you or the organization might have planned, but was that something that was always in the back of your head, even as you talk about making sure that you were ready at any given time?
You know, I think it's funny because, you know, I got a text from a good buddy of mine, and he sent me a picture of a fire station, you know, and like it's kind of like, why are you sending that, you know? But when he sends it, you know, he just lists the obvious, right? Like, doors are open, garage doors are open, like, things are ready to go, and, like, they're just waiting on that phone call to, like, respond surgically. And, like, just what a great representation of, like, the job I had and being ready for that moment. And I think, you know, I smile because it's, like, a moment you prep for and you are extremely excited for, but also got to realize that it's extreme focus, and that's what I've continued to harp on. But you wait for the perfect time, you know, you're going to wait a whole lifetime. So for me, I've always been ready for every moment.
Dylan, just going back to these first 4 weeks and like the prep of it all, I know sometimes rookie QBs, they step into that backup role. It becomes kind of this big learning experience that maybe you wouldn't have expected initially. I guess just, was that the case for you? How has that been for you in terms of taking on what you did as a backup those first 4 weeks?
I think the biggest thing is just change of perspective. You know, I think, you know, when you're behind center, it's kind of, you know, attacking the day of what you need to do. And sometimes you let things slip through the cracks for what's most important and order of operations that way. But I think when you change the perspective, you can kind of look at, you know, the whole preparation as a whole and how you can get better, how you can best support your teammates. And maybe when you're not the starter in a different status, can you still lead and create momentum for one another? So that was a big challenge for me, one I took on wholeheartedly, and I, you know, will continue to take on whichever one.
Just Brian Flores' defense. You know, he's got a great reputation. They're confusing all kinds of quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. So what do you see, and how difficult is that for your first NFL start?
Yeah, a lot of respect for what he's done. But even, you know, this year, I think he's just, you know, a unique defensive mind and has created, you know, a lot of turnovers, a lot of negative plays, confusion, like you said. But, you know, I think it's just going to be a great challenge for us all, you know, coming together. And, you know, we got a lot of respect, you know, and how we attacked our craft with diligence, you know, and want to make sure that we're ready for that moment. But like I said, a lot of respect for our competition.
What challenge is the compressed timeline this week? You got to go to London. You know, we're probably a little shorter practice today. Not going to do maybe a normal practice on Thursday, same thing with Friday. Just What type of challenge does that present for you, and how do you, you know, handle that?
Yeah, it'll be different, but one we're looking forward to. You know, there's challenges week to week in any given week, but one that's just unique. But I think, like I was saying earlier, the excitement for, you know, being able to play in London, you know, new fans, new environment, I think that'll be a lot of fun. But also just, you know, I think they've educated us a bunch on how we need to attack this, and, you know, we'll continue to do so.
Dylan, I know everyone always talks about your processing, but your mobility specifically, I mean, what do you think you can add to this offense if you guys have been struggling with that aspect of your game?
Yeah, I think it's a combination, you know, and being able to ad-lib, you know, confidence as using your legs as a weapon is real, you know, in this day and age. But I think it's a great combination of a lot of things. You know, you want to use it when you need to, not when you just feel like doing it. So, I think moving when necessary is important, and, you know, have confidence in that, but also throwing and making sure we're running the offense the right way.
Let's take a couple more.
You stepped in late in the fourth quarter in week 2 and 4, and I know, like, how can those experiences, though, to be able to take the field interview, something like that, help you as you head into this week?
Yeah, more turns at it, as Coach Muss would say. You know, the more turns you got, the more confident and comfortable you are in certain situations. So super glad I was able to get those turns, and want to continue to build on that. And we will, you know, throughout this process. But like I said, a whole week of prep going into a game, knowing the job cold is, you know, my job, and I'll continue to do that, and excited for it.
Dylan, from your vantage point, back to practice now, filming in those limited settings, what's the biggest difference you've noticed between pro defenses and college defenses?
Definitely personnel. You know, I think 1 through 11, obviously. But I think, you know, there's also confidence in, you know, their pass rushers. And I think you see that every single week. And, you know, your ability to protect, your ability to, you know, make them be on their toes consistently could help you. And you just want to continue to do that, but that's definitely a challenge.
Dylan, Jerry was obviously a little frustrated after that game on Sunday with some of his drops. How important is it, you know, for you and him to get on that same page quickly and for him to really kind of get going for this offense?
Glad you asked. You know, I'm the biggest fan of Jerry. You know, I I would be surprised to find anyone that thinks more highly of him than me. You know, just the way he works, the way he attacks his day to day, but how much he loves the game as well. You know, he shows his passion, and he's a guy that we're going to rely on, I'll continue to rely on, and a guy we'll feed because, you know, he's a big part of what we do. So, you know, I think as we continue to build it, you know, it'll be, you know, building reps together in continuity. But I think that'll grow as time progresses.
Do you feel like the rest of that room's kind of in a little bit of flux with Sed going on IR, DeAndre on IR, and then you call up a couple guys from practice?
You know, I think it's having that mentality of next guy up and everyone being prepared for their moment. And, you know, uniquely enough, you know, I'm doing the same as them. So I think we're both in that same position. But, you know, I keep going back to us coming together and making sure that we continue to do that will be our biggest, you know, point of emphasis, because we need to do that. And the more we create positive plays and let that continue to stack on each other, then, you know, good things will happen. But small bites at a time.
You've been to London before?
Haven't been out of the country, so.
Family gonna make the trip?
They won't be.
Thank you.
That's a Dylan Gabriel, your starting quarterback, Browns fans. He will start for the Browns Sunday in London against the Minnesota Vikings. He sounds like a starting quarterback. He sounds like Joe Flacco. Nice and calm. Didn't get flustered by any questions. Handles it well. Sounds like he's been there, done that for good reason. 64 starts in college. An NCAA record for the most starts at quarterback in college. If he's not ready to go, he never will be. So he gets his chance to be the Browns starting quarterback, and let's be, I think, open, fair, honest. Let's see what he does. I don't think there's anything more you can say about it than that, Dan. Let's see what he does.
It all sounds good. It all sounds like a starting quarterback. It sounds like a guy who has done this before. It sounds like a guy who is relating to his experiences that he's had in college, because those are the only experiences that he knows. So that's what you have to fall back on. I mean, the way that he perpetually just said, I'm going to attack with process, I'm going to create positive momentum, do everything we can to work together, put points on the board. I think he said that about 3 or 4 different times in that interview. So they understand inside of the building, hey, we probably need to score some points. Well, no kidding. So hopefully that follows it.
Two things he said, and you have to look. They're not going to come out and say these great big bold statements. So you kind of got to look at things and see exactly where they are said, how they are said, and what happens there. Two things to me screamed, this guy has the leadership traits to be a quarterback and the smarts to be a quarterback, which, of course, those two things don't mean anything if you can't actually play quarterback. But he was asked, when did you hear? When did you learn? Well, he knows it was a drawn-out process and that Kevin avoided the question and blah, 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 blah. Dylan didn't say when he heard.
He did not answer.
What he answered was, yep, we all heard about it together in the quarterback room.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. No time frame. Now, does that mean anything? Yeah, it means this. He didn't throw his coach or his organization under the bus. He knew, yeah, nobody needs to know when.
Nope. That's not important.
Doesn't matter. And if he happened to say, oh, I heard Sunday night. Oh, my God. Then that's a story.
Yep.
He killed a story.
Absolutely.
If he heard Monday, well, Kevin didn't tell anybody. Well, I knew. Well, that's a story. So he killed that.
Mm-hmm.
He was asked about Jerry Jeudy, who's been struggling like crazy. 13 catches on 30 targets.
5 drops.
Dylan, I'm glad you asked that. And then sang the praises of Jerry Jeudy. Starting quarterback, blowing up the confidence of his top wide receiver. Immediately saying, and Jeudy will hear those comments.
Oh, gosh,
you can be sure he'll hear those comments. And what will Jerry Jeudy think of that? He'll think, all right, let's go. Probably nothing more than that. But what if he had said, yeah, I know Jerry's been having some problems. And Jerry hears that, and it's like, oh, God, man, this guy. Ah, all right, let's go.
Just keep going.
I mean, those were two big-time educated quarterback comments from Dylan Gabriel. And if he can't play, he can't play. But that shows you where his head is and how he understands what it is he has to do and what it is a starting quarterback has to do. I was impressed.
when you hear things like that, it backs up everything that you've ever read about the leadership of Dillon Gabriel, whether it was UCF, whether it was Oklahoma, whether it was Oregon. It backs up the stories you've heard of the Chrysler Pacifica and driving his players around, liked having a van so that he could take the offense and his family with him wherever he needed to go.
Dan.
Would rent Airbnbs for that exact reason. Stop. Those are the kind of comments that back that up.
Why? Stop. Who doesn't like having a van?
Well, clearly you do because you've yet to replace yours.
Cheered me up, man.
You've yet to replace yours.
Chip sent me an email yesterday. Apparently my van died September 17th of last year.
Oh.
He remembered.
Oh.
Chip, thanks.
Sorry, man.
Spent last night tearing up.
Sorry, man.
Wasn't good. Cleveland's in Cleveland. Cleveland.
What's up, Cleveland?
Yeah, I got a problem. I think they put Dillon in a little too soon. The reason why I say that is because part of the problem that I saw in the preseason with his throws was anything over 20 yards or 30 yards at the most, he can't see over the line, and the receivers can't see him throwing the ball. They're going to have to wait for the ball.
He's going to grow over the next 3 or 4 months if
Cleveland,
you give him more time.
If that means the ball goes 19 yards past the line of scrimmage, I'm in. I'm in. I'm sold. My bar is so low right now. 19 yards past the line of scrimmage sounds like a dream.
His putting him in too soon will not change his height. Let's just all remember that. Daryl Ryder is our Browns beat reporter. He's out there with Dillon Gabriel. He was at the Guardians game yesterday. He's all over the place. He's doing his thing. He's going to take some time and talk to us momentarily right here on The Fan. Chris Rose at 1240. We're bouncing back and forth, folks. We have a new starting quarterback. We have a new center fielder making his major league debut. And the Guardians' better win of the season comes to an end. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.